Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
So I'm Cameron Curry, Executive Director for the Classical Academies, and it's time for another podcast. And today we're going to be talking about parenting a college student. Our guests today are Kyle and Wendy Menig, and they're returning to the show, and they are parents of a Classical Academy student, and they are the founders of the 210 Group. It's a coaching and consulting nonprofit. They have over 25 years of experience working with college students, and they're with us today to give us tips on parenting a college student. So, Kyle and Wendy, welcome.
Thanks. It's good to be here again.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Always enjoy it.
So many parents are getting ready to drop off their child off at college this fall. And as a parent who have done this myself, it is really an emotional time. And you know your role as a parent is changing, and you don't really know what will necessarily look like when you drop off your son or daughter. So can you talk to us about what are the pitfalls parents can fall into while they're trying to be parents from long distance?
Yes. So one of the biggest pitfalls to fall into is not changing your tactic, just to continue trying to parent the way that you've parented them.
That you've always parented.
Right.
Right.
Which seems easy and natural, but it's your relationship isn't the same anymore and they're not there. And so you do need to change things up a little bit so that you can have a successful parenting relationship with them. Also, not trusting your student. A lot of parents try to micromanage their lives from far away. And so parents are actually willing to contact professors and roommates and the actual school. And you shouldn't do that. That's a huge pitfall. You're showing your student that you don't trust them to take care of their own lives. So I think the parenting in the college years is a balancing act of trust and respect and knowing your kid and really asking them good questions so that you can guide them, but not necessarily direct everything about their new
life. Well, I think you're absolutely right. I've heard of parents that are picking up and moving to the same town where their son or daughter is going to college so they can maintain this real close relationship and almost an inappropriate oversight of what's going on. And I've heard the nightmare stories of mom and dad picking up the phone and calling a professor saying, my daughter is a good writer, and I couldn't believe that you gave XYZ. Mom and dad, come on.
Yeah. Right. It's a little too much.
It's a little too much.
And as parents of homeschoolers, we've been very involved in their lives. And so I think that it's easier sometimes maybe for us to fall into these traps because we're used to really being very involved.
Active.
And so it's hard to have them go somewhere and be completely separate from us.
So how do parents navigate the transition from directing to really coaching?
Yeah, as Wendy mentioned, you know, it can be an easy habit to fall back into, kind of directing those lives. And if you think about the director of a movie, for instance, you know, sometimes they even describe those projects as their baby because they might have even written the script. Some of them are writer-directors, but they're editing, they have all the shots, they want to control the lighting, right? Every detail of that movie is being directed. And yet, as parents, we need to move, you know, beyond that. Definitely even by high school, I would say, but for sure by the time they move off to college, that you move into more of a coaching and even counseling type role. And so trying to really think through for yourself first as that parent, how do I engage with them so they are going to want to stay connected with me through these next decades? And trust that process, that this relationship that you've been building their whole lives, it's changing. But again, you're not the director anymore. You're not controlling all of these parts. You're there to support, coach, cheer, and there for counsel when it's invited is what I would add to that. I think what I've found, so our daughter, she's been 2 years at a community college. We haven't seen her as often as we did even when she was in high school, even though she still lives with us. But she is getting ready to transfer. And so what I found was interesting is I'm checking my own responses more now than I did when she was younger. And so what I mean by that is when they were young, I would focus on my kids and how they responded and what was their attitude kind of underneath the surface. But now I'm spending more time checking myself before I wreck myself is the way I would describe it. And I don't do as well with that because there's this tension of figuring out, is this a time to weigh in? You know, or do I kind of step back? Do I just ask those questions? What's your plan? Even though everything inside of me wants to give them what I think is the best plan, which is, of course, my plan. Because I think I know what might be best for them. But we all make good and bad choices. I don't really know what is best for our daughter. It's her life.
It's her life.
And what might be a red flag for me is something for her that's just no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And she can walk through that with that confidence that I wouldn't have in that particular situation. And so, again, it's easy for me to want to go into fix-it mode. But what I really need to try to focus on is listening for the emotions that she might be sharing as she shares these challenges she's facing, these you know, circumstances that are, you know, pushing her buttons. What's going on underneath the surface? Do I have any kind of spidey senses tingling where I can really hear from her, what are you thinking or feeling right now? What is your plan to get through this? Can I support that? Are there things that I can do to support that? But I need to kind of come away from what's best for me in this situation and really continue to elevate her and what might be best with her and empathize for sure. But, you know, I need to check myself. I don't want to be that fixer. I want to connect relationally. And so again, playing kind of the big picture, what do I want later in life with her? I'm setting that up now in our relationship. So as a coach, we really want to point out those strengths because it's creating a future for them.
Mm-hmm.
You have this in you. You can do this. And that's going to set up their future rather than me just do the things for the now. They're the ones playing the game. And so there's boundaries that need to start, you know, being established so that our relationship can move forward and that they can succeed.
So how can we talk about boundaries with our college student?
Yeah, so we have to remember that our goal as parents is that they become independent adults and that they become responsible for their own lives. And as adults, we need to be responsible for our own lives. And so when you think about boundaries, you really do have to think about, you know, actual boundary lines of what's mine and what's yours. Mm-hmm. And then when I cross into your boundaries, you feel violated. And so even with our students, we need to have those pictures of boundaries in our mind so that we can help them establish good boundaries in their lives. Because other people, their whole adult lives, will be trying to get in to cross their boundaries. And we want our students to have the ability to say, no, this is mine and that's yours.
Mm-hmm.
What's really a great idea is just to have good conversations with them about boundaries. And so have conversations about what they're responsible for and what they're not responsible for. So, for instance, they are not responsible to make me happy. As much as I want my daughter to make me happy, it's not her responsibility to make me happy. It's my responsibility to make me happy.
We need to repeat that because I think there's a lot of families who circle around that and don't understand that concept.
Yeah. So as an adult, I am responsible for my feelings and my actions. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we want our children to be responsible for them. And because we're so tied up into their lives, we can't help but react to mm-hmm. their lives. But still, it's not right for me to put that pressure on my daughter to make me happy. And then the same is true for them. It's not my responsibility to make them happy necessarily all of the time. But the biggest ones that I see with college students is parents take the responsibility to fix their problems and make their decisions and try to protect them from consequences. And none of that is a parent's responsibility. That's a student's responsibility to make their own decisions, to deal with their own consequences, and to fix their own problems. And so we need to let them know that if you invite me in, mm-hmm. I can come and help with something. But if I just go help and fix it, I am crossing your boundary, and I don't want to do that. And so we need to have that kind of conversation with our students. This is mine and that's yours, to help them develop and grow into independent adults.
Yeah, I mean, for parents that may not even understand boundaries or don't have an idea of what we're talking about when we say boundaries, you know, in some ways they're not complicated to understand, but they could be really messy to live out. So boundaries are really just an invisible line that defines who you are and who you're not, kind of what you're responsible for and what you're not. There's a book, great book called Boundaries that I read. A guy named Henry Cloud wrote it. I think he uses the analogy of a garden that was really helpful for me.
Okay.
About 20-some years ago when I read that book, and this seemed like, you know, mind-boggling that, oh my gosh, I take over people's, you know, I don't have boundaries. This is not good for me.
Your garden is my garden.
Yeah. Let's share alike. And so if you picture that garden, right, there's a fence and that's a boundary. And inside the fence, you might see some grass, flowers, different trees that, you know, maybe you take care of and that you're responsible for. But anything outside of that fence is your neighbor's, and you're not responsible for that. And it would be kind of crazy if you went to your neighbor and demanded that they come and pull out your weeds and take care of your grass that's dying. Just like it would be strange or even wrong if you went to your neighbor's yard and cut down their orange tree because you wanted to make a glass of orange juice. And yet, in relationships, we can do that quite a bit. And especially with our own kids, we've gotten into the habit of maybe just going in the room when we want to or grabbing their cell phones every time we want to and just seeing exactly what they're doing. But as they get older, we need to knock on that door.
Right.
We want to show them that respect. We want to say, hey, I'm paying the phone bill for you, but I have rights to your phone to see who you're connecting with and what you're doing online. But is it okay if I do this right now? You know, and maybe you take that and look at it. And so you're doing things by permission and invitation rather than just stomping through and on these relationships. And so the best way to set these up well is to have those open and honest conversations, but you're having those often and over and repeating them because you have to continue clarifying where boundaries are, especially as they get older.
Well, I think once again, this really comes back to the fact that this should be an ongoing process. This is not something you do right when they've reached a certain age, like, oh, everything changed from yesterday, and today here's the rules, and here's what we're doing now.
Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness.
Have a little whiplash at that point.
Have a little whiplash, exactly.
Yeah.
So what are a few tips for having a great, shall we even venture into, say, drama-free visiting with your students when they return home?
Yeah, that's something that we've seen students be very anxious over going home to their parents because they're not sure what it's going to be like having, you know, not been there for a month, maybe 2 months, and how those relationships might have changed. So a few years ago, Kyle and I actually bought one of those bed in a box things. So I don't know if you're all familiar with that, but a bed in a box. So you get it in the mail. It's not very big. And you cut it open and you cut the plastic off this bed and it just
goes boom.
Yeah, expands into this huge bed. And we were shocked by this thing. But unfortunately, after sleeping on it for a couple days, we were like, oh, we don't like this bed. So we wanted to return it.
Because they gave you 100 nights free to try it out.
And so
you just have to get it back in the box.
You got to get it back in the box. But thankfully, the company knew that there's no way that bed's going back in the box. And they're like, just donate it somewhere. Don't worry about it. Because they knew there was no way that you can ever put that bed back in a box.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think of our students that way. Once they've been taken out of our house, they grow and they change. And we want that for them. We want them to grow and change. But sometimes when you put something that's grown to a bigger size back in a smaller container, it hurts and it rubs the wrong way. And there's some friction. And so, again, have the conversation ahead of time about expectations. When you come home, I expect you to have dinner with grandma, but then you can have lots of free time to go see your friends. Or I expect you to have dinner with us every night, but you're free during the day. So just so that there's no big blow-ups, and it can be a calm, enjoyable time with one another. So I know some parents who will just schedule their students out like crazy. And so the student is just exhausted from their trip at home because they were busy doing every single thing that the parent wanted
them
to do.
That mom and dad wanted, exactly.
Yeah, and it's like as parents, I guess we try to fill 2 months worth into 1 weekend, and it just doesn't work for anybody. And so it causes a lot of frustration and anger.
Yeah, just kind of thinking it through that, you know, they're bringing home more than just their laundry, right? And so that's kind of the phrase that I like to hold on to in that it's really a great time for you to check in with how they're doing, not just what they're doing. And again, you can kind of get in interrogation mode sometimes with your students. What are you doing? Who are you doing it with? You know, what are you missing? But you're missing the opportunity to create this new pattern for life with your student. And so remembering that they are different than when they said goodbye. I think about it just being intentional, grabbing that one-on-one time that you can fit in and asking questions. You know, maybe what are some of the ideas or people that have inspired you lately? Like, I haven't been around. I'd like to hear what's exciting for you these days. Or tell me about the kind of person that you're hoping to be. You've been at school for 6 months now. You know, here we are at Christmas break, but how are you going to finish strong now these next 6 months? Tell me about the girl or boy that you're interested in or attractive to. Like, what are the qualities? How are they helping you be a better you, for instance? Could be a good follow-up. Or what's just been the hardest part of college so far? Kind of that idea, like you're looking back and remember what you were like at college. Every parent needs to do that. Have that empathy of, you know, you experienced challenges, you had some gaps, and really kind of start building that relationship where you're authentic and sharing those places that were challenging for you as well. So that hopefully you can just really dive into the how can I support you now? Thanks for this information. I've really enjoyed this time. It's refreshing rather than it's all filled up.
Well, and I thought about it too. Our daughter had gone away and lived in a small apartment with, you know, six other ladies. And doing those check-ins on a weekly basis, we begin to hear about some of the drama that was going on in that dorm room.
Yeah.
And obviously, we as parents would love to go over and fix that. But, you know, she's 5 hours away. So asking those key questions, well, how is it going and how have you dealt with it? And that moved into, I guess, two of the girls who said, we're going to have a housemate get together and we're going to have some really tough conversations.
Clear the air.
And I just know, had we not established some of those things early on,
yeah.
I mean, you need your children to have these tough conversations when you're not around, and you need them to stand up for themselves, and you need them to self-advocate, and you need them to do these things. And so it was fun to be on the phone and to listen to the dialogue leading up to the meeting and then listening to the dialogue after the meeting and how they confronted and they were able to solve some stuff. And, you know, and it's challenging living with complete strangers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
And I like that you bring that up because, I mean, it kind of speaks to the idea of boundaries that we spoke about earlier, and that you're helping kind of set the tone for those harder conversations, these conversations where we need to clear the air.
Right.
If you as the parent can start establishing that this is a norm for even us to do in our relationship, it gives them that confidence to do it now with these roommates.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
I like that.
That's awesome. So any other tips to share as we're, you know, parenting that college age student?
I would also say if you're up there visiting, it's great to maybe take their friends out to dinner or out to coffee. So you,
I think that's the expectation. Mom and dad are coming to town. There's a free meal for everybody. Exactly. Come on.
There you go. Exactly. But you want to see how they interact with their friends and see how those relationships are kind of playing out. I think that would be a wise thing to do.
That's great. Well, thank you for your time on the show today. I always appreciate you guys being here, sharing your wisdom.
Thanks for having us.
We're so grateful for the 210 group and the coaching and consulting you guys do. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Cameron. Appreciate it.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.